Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We're even shouting out to the infants this morning. They understand more than we think. We are at my Father's table. I'm Pastor Kevin T. Scott, and we're going to be talking about today the matters of the heart. Within that text, we're going to talk about right and wrong. Which side do you stand on? What is your aim, to please man or woman, or to please God? We're going to jump into this as we listen to a little bit of Ben Tankard, Mercy, 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 and let's not forget about His grace. King Scott, RadioTV.com. A Matter of the Heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. What matters most to God? True belief, right actions, proper worship, the beauty of appearance, or the purity of heart? What does the Bible mean by heart? How can hearts be changed? The right and wrongs of this world that we live in, the flesh and the blood. Who do we choose to worship? We're here today to talk about the matters of the heart, the right and wrongs. As we get into this, I need you to go to 1 Samuel 16:7 and read it for yourself. There are many things which are important in religion, what one believes, doctrine, beliefs, theology, what one does, actions, conduct, works, morals, ethics, how one feels, sincerity, good, bad, indifferent, how one worships, their rituals, their literacy in the Word of God, tradition, public appearance, etc. Scripturally, what is essential to the true religion? Is it simply the condition of one's heart? Is it what we think, or what you may think, or is it what God says it should be? The condition of your heart, is it open or closed, contrite or stubborn, soft like a pillow or hard like a stone? These are some of the things that the Bible talks about. What God most wants is a broken spirit where he can get in and move some things around, put things in its proper perspective. That's what has to happen to all of us when we come to the understanding of what God wants. These are the things that we must do. In my years of studying the Word of God, what I've come to understand is that you can't follow people. You must follow God. He left instructions for us, things that we can go by, things that we can stand on. It supersedes friendships. It supersedes family. It supersedes the whimsical whims of this life. It'll blow you this way and that way. Ultimately, you have to make a decision. Who will you trust? Do you trust the Word of God or the Word of man? Now, most of us know that. Most of us understand that. But when the rubber meets the road, what do you do? We talked earlier about your actions. Does your actions dictate a godly manner or a worldly manner? The matters of the heart. See, God is the only person that can read the heart. He can tell you how you feel because he knows. That's the spirituality of his being. That's why it says, my ways are not your ways. He thinks on a different level, levels that we don't yet understand. But he gives us instructions to trust, to believe. The faith of believing in what you read. Now, practicing it can be difficult because you get caught up into emotions, which falls into the flesh, and the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. So how can you have the spirit guide you? You don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. We need to be able to relate to one another, to forgive one another, to understand one another. These things are essential to the heart matters. As we go deeper into this subject matter, examine yourself. You can't examine others. Only God is allowed to do that. You can have your opinions, but that doesn't mean that your opinions are right. Are they placed in the right place to motivate you to do God's will? That's when it settles in. That's when you stand for something and don't fall for anything. Am I reaching someone this morning? We are talking about the matters of the heart, the matters of the things that will get you to that promised land. There is a promised land. There is another place that we have to reside in for eternity. Just know that you do have a place there. But here is the practice ground. You have to get your attitude right. You can't follow what sister girl may say, or what brother man talks about, or what sons or daughters or grandchildren or anyone for that matter. Following the word of God is essential, but it's difficult. Again, because the flesh is weak. The emotional roller coaster that this world can take you in will bring you to a place where you're confused. What should you do? If you stick to the roadmap that you're giving, the instructions that show you the way, that guide you like a light in the dark, you will get to where you need to be as a human being, as a child of God. If you choose to worship God, then that is what you must do. Not man or woman, but God. And as you grow into that, because you just don't arrive, it requires effort. It requires for you to change some of your ways. Our ways are not like God's ways. We know that. But how do we practice it? How do we get it to our level of perfections that we can achieve here on earth? How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat your fellow person? Even children deserve respect. Even adults and senior citizens deserve the respect of a human being. It's what you do here that counts. Now, we can go around in a circle and point out different aspects of good, godly human behavior. We all have blame. We all fall short of that mark. But when your heart is in the right place and you strive to forgive, not forget, but just to forgive, that is what separates you from that worldly manner. It's not how many cars you have or how big is your house. Those are earthly things. Keep in mind that you can't take it with you. None of these things are acceptable into the world of God on that higher plane. You brought nothing in. You can't take anything out. So as we prepare ourselves for that transition, what you do to your neighbor, what you do for your friend, how you place them in that upper echelon of doing things in a godly manner. A lot of people can hate. They can dislike some of your ways. But that doesn't mean that you have to hate them. You treat them with love and respect. And God will take account of that when your turn comes. I guarantee you, the word says it. All you have to do is do the investigation for it. You'll see it's right there. He will hold you accountable for your actions. I try to choose not to fight. I definitely choose not to hate. I could not like your ways, but I can still love you as a person. Because that is what God teaches us. That is what we are supposed to do. But I'm not telling you that that's what I always do. Again, we all fall short. And as we go through these cycles of life, as we improve our mannerisms, our kindness, even though you know people are doing devilish things about you or to you, it happens. It happens, ladies and gentlemen, and you don't like it. It hurts. It's painful to have to go through the trenches of attitudes and skepticism. It makes you feel indifferent. It makes you feel abnormal. As Rodney King says, can we all just get along? Can you accept me for who I am? And accept as I accept you for who you are. Not to say that constructive criticism is not a good thing. Iron sharpens iron. It's okay to pull your friend to the side and say, look, that's not the way to be. Sometimes it has to get deeper than that. You have to set them down and explain to them, this is what you're doing. This is how it's perceived. And if you can do that in a humbling manner, you'll help someone. You will help someone grow into what God wants us all to be like Him. He is the example. We're going to take a break right here, and we're going to come back in a scotchy bit of a moment. In the meantime, we're going to allow you to listen to this brilliant song by Marvin Sapp.
Listen.
He sees
the tears you cry,
and he shares
Sometimes you wonder why
he allows
you to go through
what you go through. Listen. Lift up those hands and give him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help in here. That's a good place to bless him. Listen to the words. See your day.
we're back here at my Father's table. We're here to continue to encourage you. We just heard from that mighty song, He Has His Hands on You. So let's talk about that for a minute, because we don't want to give you a word this morning that doesn't have the compassion wrapped in it. You see, when He has His hands on you, it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that you don't suffer the pain and the anguish of this everyday life, the challenges, the uphill battles, the funny ways of man and woman. I can tell you that I've been around long enough to know that the sting still sting, that suffering still gets into your mind, and you say, why would they treat me that way? I've tried my best. My effort is there. Your rewards don't come from here. It comes from God, because God sees it. God knows it. And some kind of way, that pain, that suffering is used to mold you and to shape you, to help you get to where you should be in Him. Not for this world. Not for this world. But for up yonder. You see, this is temporary here. Now most of this you've heard before. People have said these things to you. But again, when that rubber meets the road and they're on your toe, they're coming to sit beside you. When Satan is focused on making you feel bad, it's a lonely situation. It's a situation that can be unbearable at times. People commit suicide behind it, depending on what has happened, what is being done, the evilness of man and woman. Yes, it will cause you to take your own life. But I'm here to encourage you, to tell you that He has His hands on you. It's a matter of the heart. God can read the heart. You can't fool what His intentions are. He wants the best for you, but He wants the best for others too. See, we don't have to step on each other to get ahead. God said there's enough room at the table for everyone. That includes you. So when people tell you that you're everything but a child of God, never mind that. I know it's hard to get out of your psyche, but never mind that. God wants the best for you. That is why you worship Him. That is why you wake up with that half smile on your face and say, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to move closer to Him. And as you groom, as you mold, as you nip here and tuck there, you'll find that it's working. You'll find that in your heart, you're a better person. And your actions will be blessed in the eyes of God, not in what you have, not in what you did, but in the eyes of God. And when it's time, when it's your time to leave this realm and to go into that sleep, you'll be one of the ones that are woken up in His glory to worship Him. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. That's the matters of the heart. That's what's going to count. that eternity that you're moving closer to. Yes, I know it's painful. I get it. The memo was on my desk. I'm just telling you and saying to you and pleading with you to understand the ways of this world is not right. People are not right for the mean things they do. But there's a way you can get around that. Worship Him. Give your life to Him. Let Him guide you to His promised land. The Bible describes it as streets paved with gold. I don't know. I haven't been there. I can tell you I would like to see it if I can. In whatever state I'm in, if it's my essence, I want to feel it. And if you stay on that plane, if you ride that high road, even though you're going to get smacked around sometimes, if you ride on that plane, you'll get there. And I may see you. I'm striving like you are. We're all in this together ultimately. We're children of the Most High God. No big eyes, no little U's. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes love. It takes the matters of the heart. This has been At My Father's Table, Pastor Kevin T. Scott, broadcasting here on King Scott Radio. KingScottRadioTV.com.